So hello again, and welcome to our group coaching call. We're in week one of the metabolic reset, day six to be exact, and I'm very excited to share some stuff with you and to go through some questions and some labs and some things like that that have been submitted. So I think it's awesome for you guys to be doing what you're doing. So first of all, give yourself a pat on the back. Very few people in our society are willing to undertake a process like this. It's work, but it's worth it. You know, just like college and childbirth and all that sort of stuff. It's hard when you're going through it, but the end results are worth it. So just like childbirth and college, wait it out, because the results are not at the beginning. The rewards are not right at the beginning. It's going to be with some effort. You got to change the biochemistry. You've got to change what's going on in your body. And if it's been there a while, you can't expect your body to just heal itself within a few weeks. Okay. So let's just keep this going. You're going to see steady progress. If you're not, we'll talk about it, because there may be some other underlying problems that need to be addressed. Like maybe you have some liver toxicity that's getting in the way of your glucose metabolism. Maybe you have some gut dysbiosis that's getting in the way. So as things come up, if you're not getting the results we think you should, then we'll definitely help you address that, or direct you to the right courses that we have or practitioners that can help you get further with that. Okay. But most people do well with just the basic program and the basic testing. So before we get started, I want us all to engage in a little bit of a transition. Maybe you came from a tough day. It's late in the day. Maybe you were working. Maybe you were dealing with kids. Maybe you're homeschooling your kids. Maybe you're babysitting your grandkids. Whatever it is, I want you to be able to come into this call and leave that behind. So we're just going to do a little heart math and a visualization. What I'd love you to do is get in a comfortable position. Put your right hand over your heart and your left hand over your belly. And if you want, just your arm wrapped around your belly. Either way, we want to focus on these two areas of our body. And then take a long, slow, deep breath in. Filling your belly first and then your chest. Lots of oxygen in that air that oxygenates your blood and gives you energy. So take a few deep breaths like that and really focus on the inhale, fully to top capacity. Hold it there for a few seconds or longer if you can. And then let it out. Try to be breathing through your nose. It's healthier for you to breathe through your nose. There are some people who breathe through their mouth, and they have special techniques, and there are special yoga techniques where you do that for short periods. But in general, and feel it in your belly. Extend your belly and let it go. And I want you to just take some time to visualize a place where you feel happy, loved, and supported. It could be a place in your current life. It could be a place in your past life. It could be a situation you had. It could be a future place. It could be something you visualize and fantasize about. Either way, just allow yourself to go there. And allow yourself to be there with all your senses. Allow yourself to see the surroundings and take them all in. Taste, whatever those tastes are. Smell, what are the aromas associated with that place? Hear, what are the sounds associated with that place? Maybe there are none. Maybe you're in a, you know, one of those tanks that you're deprived of any kind of stimulation. That's probably not it for most of you. What do you feel on your skin? And just really go there. I'm at the beach. I'm feeling the sand between my toes. It's really warm. I'm feeling the sun beating down on my body, the warmth of the sun. I'm smelling the awesomeness of salt air. I'm hearing the sounds of waves crashing, children gleefully running around. What I'm seeing is this enormitude of the ocean, these beautiful waves crashing on the shore. And in the background, there's a mountain, you know, off to one side, actually an island with a mountain. And just in bliss. And as I enter the water, I feel the coolness against my warm skin. Not too cool, just the right temperature. And I allow myself to just float. And I'm literally there right now. So go to that place. Allow yourself to be there and take it in. For a few breaths. Don't rush the breath. Part about this is when you visualize you're there, your nervous system doesn't know the difference between really being there and the imagination. And the cool part about that is when you're in that state of joy, relaxation, even bliss, you create a multitude of chemicals in your body that promote healing. You lower your blood pressure. You lower your blood sugar. You make your heart pound stronger in your chest. I don't mean rapid or hard. I mean just beating with more fortitude. Helps your hormones. There have been studies that show this. Studies that actually have measured people in this state. So allow yourself to be there for 2 or 3 more breaths. And allow yourself to evoke a deep sense of appreciation for that place in your life, that person in your life, that situation, that experience. And then when you're ready, come back into the room, come back into the reality, but set the intention that you are going to take that feeling back here with you. Whatever that feeling was, you know now that you can recreate it at any time. Any time. And I'd love it if you just chat about what you're feeling now, how you're feeling differently than how you felt before. And this is a process I teach you, and we have the 30-day stress transformation. And the 30-day stress transformation system takes you through that. And I want you to go through and do that. We've asked you that right from the beginning. And we recommend that you just make this part of your daily life. You don't have to do such a long one like I did, but maybe in the morning before you get out of bed or in the evening before you go to sleep. But do it every single time before you eat for sure. Yeah. So Zena says, more relaxed. Thank you. Lashana says, thank you. Dylan. Who else? Less tension, more relaxed. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you can do this anytime, and I recommend you do it at least 5 times a day. Okay? All right. So we're going to get started with my slide presentation. Right now you should see the first one. And I decided to put this presentation together because there's a lot of folks who have been asking me about ketones and ketone testing. Well, it's not a mandatory part of Sweet Spot. What I found is that a lot of people do get into ketosis, and that's the magic, where the magic happens. So I'm going to go to slides. So you're seeing my first slide. So if I advance it, you should see it. So I'm going to just hit record. On the backup. So I recorded this presentation for the Sweet Spot Solution because a lot of folks ask about ketones. A lot of people have heard of intermittent fasting and are doing it. A lot of people have heard of it and are curious about doing it. And then we're going to tie that into the metabolic reset. What I didn't realize when I started this program, that a big part of its success was some people that got really rapid results, so they were getting into ketosis pretty quickly. And other people who struggled with the first 2 weeks were not getting into ketosis as quickly. We don't know what controls how fast somebody gets into ketosis, but we know that different people are different. And you can get adapted to it. And the more you do things like intermittent fasting or juice fasting, or fasting mimicking type diets, the easier it gets to get into ketosis. So the purpose of this presentation is to explain to you what ketosis is and how that fits into sweet spot, should you choose to do it. To talk about intermittent fasting briefly, because we have a whole section on that in the final module, and then tie it all into the metabolic reset. So we are going to proceed, and like every other presentation I do, and just let me know in the chat if you're seeing the presentation advance. So all my information is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. And especially if you are on medications or have been diagnosed with a particular condition, especially diabetes or diabetes management medications in this program, you should talk to your doctor and explain what you're doing and check in frequently to see if those doses need to be lowered. My experience is that a lot of people need lower doses rather quickly. And what that means is, while for people not on medication, it's fine to have your glucose drop into the 60s. If you're on medication, it usually means you're over-medicated if you're dropping into the 60s. So talk to your doctor about having them lower the doses. Super important. Okay, so that out of the way, I want to review 30-day metabolic reset. I'm really just going to review the chart. You all have this chart. It's in the metabolic reset. It's also on the extras menu on the site. And so over the 30 days before we started, you were testing like fiends and testing to figure out what foods raised your sugar, what foods kept them steady. Heading into the metabolic reset, I recommended that you take this chart and that you cross off the things that you found are not good. Add in any that you found were not listed here, like olives or other greens that you do find are good. And then get ready to go. Like if there's any in particular that are really good, like, wow, this girl is just so steady, put stars next to them. Make this your own. If you haven't tested the foods in the yellow by now, don't use them during the metabolic reset because they're the higher glycemic foods that could raise your sugar, but they may not. And then in the foods to avoid, just avoid them. So I keep seeing questions from people that say, can I have this or can I have that? And the answer to that is always, it depends. So the high starch vegetables, if you're not testing, then you want to avoid them because you don't know how they're going to affect you. So the can you have determines how you respond. The question that came up was about beets. And I find personally for me, beets are fine for me, raw, grated on a salad. But cooked, cooked, they're not so good. They raise my sugar if I have too much. So some foods will raise your blood sugar alone, but not mixed in a meal. That's absolutely true, Rob. And you don't want to, you don't care what they do alone. What you care is what they do in a meal. So like, for example, beets, right? So you make a salad and you add some shredded beets to it and you eat it and your blood sugar doesn't go up. Awesome. So you make a salad and you take some beets that are cooked and you slice them up and you put it on the salad. Maybe it makes it go up. And maybe it's dose dependent, right? So there's no, other than the really bad for you foods, which is the processed food list. Other than that, there's no bad foods or good foods. There's no allowed foods or not allowed foods. Except during the reset, you want to stick to mostly the things in the green and only the things in the yellow that keep your food below, your sugar below 110, or in case of people who are diabetic or insulin resistant already, then that don't raise your sugar more than 10 points. And this is really important to know, right? It depends, right? How does your body respond? So yeah, so on beetroot, I would try it raw and see how it goes. All right, so let's get into a little bit about ketones because a lot of people are asking. First of all, ketone meters are not required. They're good to have, but there's no way that they're required. I've done this program for the last 9 years, and this is the first time I've ever talked to people about ketone meters. So just so you know, personally, I just started testing my ketones about a year ago, and it's very enlightening, maybe a year and a half. Very enlightening, but not mandatory for the success of the program. So I just want to let you know that. And ketones are actually, we'll talk about what they are, and intermittent fasting, we have a whole section on in the timing module. When I first started this program back in 2010 or 11, nobody heard of intermittent fasting. It was a new concept. I started reading about it, learning about it. I wrote a whole paper on it. It's actually an 18-page paper that I wrote on intermittent fasting. It's in your document. Maybe a little much for you, but for most of you who don't want to go that detailed. But we want to talk about these things because now they're in the news. Ketones, I've known about ketogenic diets for 25 years, but they were usually just used therapeutically for people with epilepsy, and then they started getting used for cancer. So I highly recommend that you listen in. My dog's barking because their UPS guy just came to the door. And let me see if I can get this to move on. I want to just tell you what ketones are. They're just chemicals. There's three of them here listed, acetoacetic acid, acetone, and beta-hydroxybutyrate. The most common one that's measured and the one that is measured on the keto meter is the beta-hydroxybutyrate. Most of the ketone, exogenous ketone supplements you'll see are beta-hydroxybutyrate. Acetone's not a desirable one, you know, it can cause havoc in the body. But beta-hydroxybutyrate and acetoacetic acid are usually fine, but we're really just measuring the beta-hydroxybutyrate. All right, it's just a chemical. It's a chemical derived from fats, and it provides fuel to the body. So we have the concept of fat as fuel, right? Glucose as fuel, fat as fuel, two different fuel sources. Now, here's the thing with you guys, right? If you're having difficulties because you've developed insulin resistance or pre-insulin resistance, then you're using primarily glucose as fuel. Most people are. And when you can adapt your body to using fat as fuel better, then you're going to have good success with reversing the insulin resistance. So what does that mean? So carbohydrates create 36 molecules of something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and that's the energy currency of the cell. They generate that from one glucose. Fat actually creates 40 from one fatty acid. So it's a little bit more efficient use of fuel. And a lot of folks who are more fat adapted find that their brain works better when they're running on fat. I personally find that. I find that my brain is more clear and sharp when I'm on a more ketogenic diet. And it doesn't mean massive levels of ketones in your blood. And we're going to talk about why people go off track with ketones. And we're going to talk about how this can tie in with the sweet spot. So a lot of folks are focused on carbohydrate totals, macronutrient ratios, and measurement is usually in most people when they recommend it is on the blood. I mean, I'm sorry. Most people focus on the urine because it's easy and it's cheap. So let's talk about carb totals. The carb totals are going to vary from person to person. They have this concept of net carbs. And net carbs would be when you look at a package, you take the total number of carbs and you minus the fiber. What's the net carb? And there are charts like this for unpackaged foods where you can look up the net carbs in, say, broccoli or cauliflower. You can just look that up and find them online. But the truth of the matter is you don't have to stay under 50 grams of carb a day if you're eating a lot of vegetables. For most people, for some people you do. Okay, so it's a matter of finding your sweet spot. Same thing with the blood sugar, same thing with the total number of carbs, and that's what you've been doing here. The other thing they look at is macronutrient ratios, and they'll say the diet has to be 80% fat, you know, and 10% protein, 10 to 15% protein, and 5 to 10% carbs. But that's not necessarily true. It depends on where the carbs are coming from. And you don't necessarily have to have that much fat. I can go into massive ketosis on much lower levels. And think about the ultimate ketosis. The way you get into ketosis ultimately is fasting. Okay, I've been doing, I do periodically 5-day water fasts. And I've adapted myself so that at the end of the day, my ketones are like, you know, 4, which is a pretty significant amount of ketones. By day 6, 5, I think I'm on 5 now, they're like 6.7. Okay? On zero fat, it's burning the fat in my body. So when you can train your body to burn fat, it can burn dietary fat or it can burn your fat on your body. Now, if you're a skinny blink and you don't have much fat, then you don't want to lose more of your fat, then adding the fat in the diet is desirable. But if you've got a bunch of weight to lose and you're adding 80% of your calories from fat and you're just scarfing down fat all day, you might plateau on the weight loss. So that's all I'm saying. And then measurement, I find the Keto Mojo to be the best. I tried that Precision Extra, which is listed on the slide. The strips are much, much, much more expensive, like $2.50 each versus 99 cents for the Keto Mojo. Okay? So these are the way you measure them. Now, you do it the same way you test your glucose. You stick your finger in you stick your needle in your finger, you get a little blood, you put it on the strip. Only it tells you the number of ketones in your body. There's a magic ratio between ketones and glucose that tells you when you're in max detox mode, the concept they call autophagy, like the breakdown of cellular debris. And it's really nice to be in a situation where you are in high levels of that autophagy. If you go to the Keto Mojo site and you type in glucose ketone index, KGI, glucose ketone index, they have a little calculator where you can put your numbers in. If you're going to calculate it yourself, you have to have an extra step where you, if you're in the U.S., you have an extra step. If you're in Canada or international, you just use your glucose number. So say your glucose number is 9, then you take 9 and you divide that by your ketones, and say your ketones are, you divide the ketones by the fat. You can do it either way. But the idea is that you want that number, the glucose number and the ketone number, to be close to identical. And that's when you're in the max detox mode. Now, that's not something you're going to get into by strictly doing the sweet spot program. You're going to be in a low level of ketosis, which maybe your ketones are 1 or 1.5. That's still good, right? But when you're doing a specific cleanse or fast, you're looking for that maximum cleansing. I have found for myself the only time I can get into that maximum autophagy, that number that's ideal, is when I'm doing a fast. And right now I'm in way max, way max, way max. So I really know I'm cleaning up. And you can do that when you're doing a cleanse. And there's other ways to do it besides a water fast. There's something called the fasting mimicking diet that Walter Longo did a lot of research on. They have a product. You can certainly try it if you want. It's a packaged product. It's about $250 for 5 days, so it's a little pricey, but it has all your meals for 5 days. I personally didn't like some of the ingredients in it, so they sent me a free kit and I didn't use it, but it might be fine for you if you find that you can do that. But what the other way to do it is with food, and I'm actually going to be presenting with you soon. I'm hoping to get it finished over the weekend, something I'm calling Eat While Fasting. Eat the Eat While Fasting protocol. And I'm going to come up with those numbers, the macronutrient ratios. I have the book and I can look up the research and figure it out. So I want to actually figure that out and figure out a food plan for it. And whoever in Sweet Spot is interested in going through it with me will do a little challenge and we'll just try it. And I really want folks who have a ketone meter to try it with me so we see what happens to your glucose, what happens to your ketones during it. And it's a safe and very nutritious plan that you can actually do once a month. So that's the latest and the greatest. Okay, next. I want to go through this quickly so we have time for questions, plenty of time for questions. So the pros of a ketogenic diet is they help to control blood sugar. It can improve mental clarity and memory. It helps reduce seizures, and that's where it was originally developed. It can help you have chronic IBS and gut inflammation, helps bring that down. Ketones are actually the preferred fuel for the brain, but some people dispute that, right? But for me personally, I feel much better when I have some level of ketones in my body. You may find that too, or you may not. It improves mitochondrial function and it decreases insulin, you know, and that's all the stuff we're going for, unless you're type 1 diabetic, in which case you don't want to decrease insulin. But there's a lot of cautions for keto, the way it's practiced. And I'm going to show you how to practice it well within the guidelines and within the framework of the Sweet Spot Solution Metabolic Reset. It can compromise your kidney function because most people are doing way too much protein and acidic food. It's not a good idea if you have extreme adrenal fatigue. It could make it worse. It's not a good idea if you have really compromised thyroid function. I don't mean just slightly hypothyroid, but really compromised. If you have poor electrolyte imbalance, if you have histamine intolerance, oxalate sensitivity, and glutamate sensitivity. But these are all based on the way it's typically taught, which is 80% fat, 5% carb, 15% protein. And the way it's taught is like, eat as much oil as you want. Down, no way. There's not a lot of nutrition in oil. Eat as much butter and bacon as you want. No, sorry, not for me, not for you. So we really look at it as how can we do it in a healthier way. So for some people, keto adaptation, which means the time it takes for the brain to actually be able to start using the ketones, it could take days, weeks, or months. And I need to add the days because I find that for me it is days. And for some people it's days. The problem is when you're in that phase where you're shifting, if you do it too fast and too dramatically, you end up with what they call the keto flu. Like you just don't feel good. You have achiness and you don't feel focused and all that. If that's the case, you're doing it too fast, number one, or you don't have enough micronutrient support, antioxidant support, vitamin and mineral support. You don't have that because you're not eating enough vegetables. And the typical way that most of the quote-unquote keto gurus teach is that you shouldn't be eating any vegetables except lettuce because lettuce is low in carbs. That's not true, okay? And that's not what I found. We had 5,000 people sign up for our Healthy Keto Challenge back in January, February, and people did great with it. And a lot of people didn't go through this keto adaptation period of the keto flu because we were supporting them with so much antioxidant support and supporting the liver. Your body will shed excess fluids during this time, so you may find yourself very thirsty. You can also get into electrolyte imbalance because as it's shedding the extra fluids that are stored in your muscle and other tissue, it can shed the electrolytes. So it's important to look at that. And if you're feeling out of balance when you start doing this, if you feel out of balance when you start the Sweet Spot and the metabolic reset, we want to look at electrolyte balance. You can go to the lab and get it tested, or you could just like give yourself some extra, get some magnesium liquid, which we have, potassium, a little bit of sodium, and actually supplement that. The symptoms you might have if you are going through the keto adaptation, and you might go through this at the beginning part of the beginning part of this program, is headaches, insomnia, constipation, fatigue, and lethargy. And I hear a lot of people having that insomnia. It's probably the keto adaptation. It's probably not eating enough vegetables or not having the right electrolytes. So if you're having any of those issues as you start the sweet spot in the metabolic reset, go ahead and look at electrolyte replacement. And I had in the keto guide, let me see, I don't think you guys have, some of you who signed up early got my whole keto package, but I'll find the guide and I'll see if I can give you guys a link. Because I have in there some products listed that are actually good to avoid this for electrolyte balance. And I don't remember the products off the top of my head, like the brands. But I searched through a lot of electrolyte companies, electrolyte whatever blends, and a lot of them have things that were undesirable in them. And it all depends on where you're at coming in. If your liver or your thyroid or adrenals or kidneys are just not working properly, you're going to have some more serious adaptation symptoms. So if you're feeling, the reason I show you this is because this happens a lot during the first phase of the program, the metabolic reset. Here's the thing. This is a myth. A ketogenic diet is not a high protein. The myth is that it's high protein. A ketogenic diet is not a high protein diet because the high protein diet can stimulate insulin. Can stimulate insulin because too much protein can get converted to glucose, which stimulates insulin. So if you see people eating burgers and fries, well, not fries, but even jicama fries made in Greece, and other things like that, a lot of people on keto will do dairy cheese, high protein, you're going to get too much protein and it's going to thwart your efforts. So same thing on this program. If you're eating too much protein, you're going to see that you stall and you don't actually get into the mode you want with the balanced glucose. A lot of people do that, and that's why we say in the program, you can do this as plant-based 100%. I've been doing it for 30 years. But you can also, if you're going to do animal foods, just stick to whole, the meats that have been pastured and organic, and they're fed not grains, but they're fed grass. And if you're doing fish, deep ocean fish, but I'd still stay away from the eggs and the dairy because they've been found to stimulate insulin. So the dark side of keto, right, the way they teach it, they do lots of oil, tallow, lard, bacon, butter. The bone broth that they recommend, a lot of people who have histamine intolerance or FODMAP sensitivities can have a problem with that. I'm going to turn my volume off for now so you don't hear these beep messages people are trying to get me. Not enough vegetables. None of them have enough vegetables. Some use caffeine to keep people stimulated throughout the day, which then can cause some adrenal issues. They're acid forming because of too much protein, and almost everybody talks about keto flu. So doing keto right, for me, test your blood and sugar and ketones. Make sure you know what they are. Eat as many non-starchy vegetables as your body tolerates, and that's what we tell you in the metabolic reset here, right? Eat as much of the non-starchy vegetables as you can. I personally think 75% of your plate should be the non-starchy vegetables, and the rest can be filled in with the other stuff. You want a moderate amount of germinated nuts and seeds, preferably germinated. People always ask me when I talk about that on my shows, do they have to be soaked before we eat them? I say, I'm not a good one for doing that, and sometimes I buy my nuts already germinated and sprouted and then dehydrated to save that. It's not hard to do. I just never remember. So when I want to have a recipe, I can do that. So they don't have to be, but if you have digestive issues, they should be soaked and sprouted first. And if you don't, then you can get away with it. Fermented foods, right? Whatever ones you tolerate, whether it's yogurt or kefir, cashew yogurt, coconut yogurt. My favorite commercial one is at Coco Yo. I love it. A protein powder, if you need it, right? Because a lot of times as you're cutting back and you're making changes, you don't get enough protein. If calories are low, you may not get enough protein. You can add that. And then coconut and MCT oil, yeah, you can do that. But small amounts. Like teaspoon doses, not tablespoons, and use it as part of your food. And then the macro ratios are going to determine by testing. How are you doing, right? And also you have to take into account your liver and your lipids and all this stuff. So you start with a baseline. We always have to start with a base, and we add and subtract from it. And that's really what we did in the month before the metabolic reset. Some of you are still in the testing phase, and that's okay. So you want to determine, where are your blood sugar? And if you're doing ketones, where's my ketone levels and how do they get affected? Now, the ketones don't have to be tested as often as glucose because they're not going to fluctuate that much. I usually recommend testing either once a day, and you can choose morning or evening, or twice a day. Usually what I recommend is trying it once or twice a day at first thing in the morning, last thing at night. And then if you determine which one you'd rather test, which is more convenient, which is giving you, you know, similar results, I would do it that way. All right. That's what I want to talk about. Now, I want to talk a little bit before we get into metabolic reset, how this ties into metabolic reset. I want to talk about intermittent fasting. So there's a lot of concepts about what intermittent fasting really is. So the thing is, like, the way I look at it is, like, twice a week, you do a 24-hour fast. So you eat dinner one day and don't eat again until dinner the next day. You eat lunch one day and don't eat again until lunch the next day. Or breakfast one day, don't eat again until lunch, breakfast the next day. But there's been a lot of like, modifications to that. So there's a lot of folks who talk about the eating window, and that's a great way to intermittent fast. Some folks eat one meal a day, and that's all they eat every day. That could get your metabolic rate slowed down a bit because your body gets used to it, unless you're eating so many calories there. But if you're not, it's going to be hard. So I think you should be alternating that. Let's see. There was another thing I wanted to say. Yes, so the feeding window. We all should have a 12-hour feeding window. First meal to last meal, 12 hours. So there's a 12-hour rest in between. If you're not there yet, great. Let's get you there. Slowly but surely get you there. So with intermittent fasting, then we gradually increase that window. So you increase it to 14 hours of rest and 10 hours of eating. You can decrease it to 8 hours of eating and 16 hours. And some people even go down to 4 hours. You have to find what feels good to you, okay? What feels good to you. And on some days, you may wake up so hungry that there's no way you're going to skip or delay breakfast. So feel into your body, right? It'll depend on your sleep and your stress and so many other factors. So I'd recommend that you start with the 12 hours because everybody is what's supposed to do that, and then just gradually increase it and see how you feel. Do you see an improvement in your glucose numbers? I don't mean immediately, but over a week or two as you increase it, you should see it shift in your glucose numbers. You got to remember that the things we're doing are making metabolic changes in the body, restoring balance to your body. It's not like giving a drug that just turns off and tells a nerve to shut up. It takes time to get changes, and we're used to having that Western medicine approach of take an aspirin, the headache goes away. Right? We are going to do this in a different way. So intermittent fasting, if you want way more information about it, I would go into the module 5, I think it is. Yes, timing. Timing is everything. Go in there and read the paper on all the studies related to intermittent fasting, and then find your rhythm. But I think there needs to be some lack of predictability. The body needs to know you're going to be doing something different, or it down-regulates, and it down-regulates the metabolism, and then your weight gets stuck. So as a summary for the metabolic reset, you're probably in just a mild ketosis. It may take you a few weeks to get there. I know that somebody posted their numbers and was already at 2.7. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Fast keto adapter. But I would really, really recommend that you just play it by ear and see and accept your body for what it's doing. My husband takes forever to keto adapt. I do it really quickly. So this is the chart again. Make sure you print this chart out, laminate it, put it on your refrigerator, get a copy that you can fold up and keep in your briefcase or purse or pocket, and have this available so you don't get tempted. There are some charts. We talked about this last week. There's some daily checklists. These are accessible through the extras menu, but also on the metabolic reset page. There's a couple of them, a more detailed one that shows you what to do in the morning, what to do in the afternoon. It's all color-coded. You can make it your own. We give you the the Excel sheet if you want it. Make sure on the supplements, a lot of questions on the supplements. You don't have to take supplements, but it will speed up the process. And if you've been deficient a long time, you should. So the soils are depleted in chromium. Most people don't get enough magnesium, and that's an issue. I will say that some of you may be coming in with potassium imbalance, and when you start the metabolic reset and the testing, you eliminate some of the higher carb foods that have a lot of potassium, like bananas and potatoes, you may start to notice some leg twitches. So I would recommend adding potassium to your regime as well. DHA is a critical omega-3 fat that's really important for insulin receptors. This is just a reminder. And this is the, you know, what we're doing, right? We're eating non-starchy vegetables. We're eating low glycemic fruits as long as they keep your glucose low. We're eating whole food fats like avocados and coconut and omega-3-rich seeds, chia flax hemp, raw nuts and seeds, preferably soaked and rinsed, and the highest omega-3 will be your walnuts. And then lean, clean animal foods are optional, but small amounts. Don't be overdoing it because that's too much protein. You can be throwing off your glucose numbers. Cold water fish, wild game, organic free-range meat, okay? So those are the foods that we should be stressing and eating during this period. If you're allergic to something on the list, cross it off, okay? We got to get rid of the stuff that's aggravating us. So just to remind you, in terms of testing, always measure your first morning. Always measure your bedtime. And then measure according to the original guidelines of foods that you've not tested. This is after the metabolic reset, actually, but during the metabolic reset as well. You may find that on foods that you haven't tested, that they raise your sugar, so you don't want to take that chance. So you always want to measure according to, you know, or eat according to that. But I would say that if your glucose is staying good and you're eating within the framework of just the foods that have been shown to good, you don't have to keep testing so often. You may want to do periodic spot checks. Okay. And, oh, snap. Did you guys lose me? Let me know. My internet just went, oh, snap. Juicide? Juicide. All right. Yeah. So, again, remind
you, I hear you.
5 in the international max under 110, which is 6.1. You want to make sure it doesn't go up more than 30 points. So I'm going to tell you what that is by doing my handy-dandy calculator. If it 30, you don't want to go more than 25 to 30 points if you're already, you know, in a higher range starting. You can't use the 110. So if we take 30 and we divide it by 18, that's 1.66. If we take 25 and we divide it by 18, that's 1.38. So where I say here, where I've said to you before that you don't want your sugars to go up more than 25 to 30 points, that would be in the U.S. numbers, and those numbers would relate to 1.38 to 1.66. I'll put that in the chat. International, don't eat things that raise your sugar more than 1.38 to 1.66 units. Okay? All right. I think we're just about done. There's the glucose conversion chart. It's on the web. It's also on our site, so you can look it up. But if you don't have the conversion chart handy, just divide the number. If I say a number like 120, divide it by 18 to get what yours is. All right. That's it. So I will stop the share. Okay. So I have a backup recording of that, of just the presentation, and then the whole recording here will be on. Let me make sure that it's still recording. Yeah, it's still recording, even though my thing left out. So I'm here to support you in answering questions. I'm going to tell you who I have here, who, if you're on the line, if you submitted, here's what I'm going to say. If you're on the line listening to me and you submitted a form with your questions or comments, then go ahead and raise your hand, star two. We'll start with those folks. Star two. Okay, so Johanna, okay, and Las Vegas, okay. So I will go there first, and then I'll find your form, and we'll look at it. And then tell me when we start that you also submitted a file, like Uploaded Labs, so I can have that open too. Okay? And then if you're on the chat, well, yeah, I think you need to be on the phone because it's really going to be helpful. I'll do yours last if you're not. But, Robson, I noticed when I read the Facebook group that many seem not to be eating much, right? All right. There's a lot of things, Rob, in the green column. I easily eat a lot of things in that green column, and sometimes I eat too much of them and I get gain weight. So, yeah. So Ingrid says, if I'm understanding correctly, a type 2 diabetic will not experience the blood sugar numbers that pre-diabetics will. That's right. How do we know type 2 diabetics reverse it? Is that realistic? We've had people reverse it already. We've had people go from having their fasting sugars in the 140s, in the 160s to 80s and even over 200 sometimes, down to their fasting sugars in the low 100s. That's basically reversal of diabetes. Some people say it's not really reversed, that if they start eating crap again, it'll go up. But same thing if you break your leg. If you break your leg because you, you know, hit it with a hammer and then you heal it, and then you hit it with a hammer again, you can break it again. It doesn't mean your leg wasn't healed. It means you did dumb stuff to cause it to come back. So that's the whole point. So yeah, absolutely. And we've seen so many of them get off their metformin, get off of their insulin even, type 2 diabetics. I've got one guy who came off of his insulin. He was a type 2, and he's keeping his blood sugars nice and steady. So it works. It works. Mary says, I feel like I'm getting too full, but I've lost as much weight as I want to, so trying to eat more, especially fat. Yeah, just try, you know, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And don't worry if you lose the weight. It'll come back. It really will. Your body knows what it's doing. And when it gets down to a point where it's, you know, it's, as long as you're eating three full meals a day, don't eat two meals a day, darling. Because if you don't want to lose any more weight, don't eat two meals a day. Eat three. You can't get enough calories in the two. So Carol submitted one. Okay. So be on the, Carol, are you just on listening in? Because if you're listening in, I won't be as effective as if you're on the phone. So I'm going to go here. So I'm going to look at the first one I have here. And Britt, let me see if I remember doing this one. I think I did Britt on the thing. All right, so let me look at these. Lynn, if there's anything at all in the chat, I'm going to have missed it because I was speaking. Please move it to the Q&A. Okay, and we got a bunch in the Q&A, so I'm going to start with the folks who have said that they submitted in advance. So the first one was...
I already put all the questions from the chat.
I'm going to look in your chart. I'm here to see Swathi. Hi. Did I say your name right?
Are you...
Jahan.
Jonathan. Yeah. Hi, Dr.
Reed.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm looking to see if I have your... I see Heather. Ah, Jerry, I found Jahan. And I have Heather, too. So I can't hear you, so you're going to need to do something. Oh, you know what? I can't hear you because I turned off my sound. Ah! Turned off my sound so you didn't hear the beeps. It's my fault. Sorry. All right. Did I say your name right? Could you say it for me?
It's good enough. My name's Genevieve.
Genevieve. Okay. That's easier than what I was making it out to be. All right. So do you have a
question?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Do you have a specific question?
I did submit, I have a recent blood test from May 30th that has my A1C and a couple of other things in it. And
okay.
My specific questions have to do, I think I'm doing okay with the, with my blood sugar levels. I can go down as low as 63. So I don't know if I should just not do the intermittent fasting. I've done intermittent fasting though for months.
No, 63 is fine. There's nothing wrong with that if you're intermittent fasting.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. If you're trying to gain weight, then I wouldn't recommend much intermittent fasting, except on an occasion, because it's going to get you to lose weight. Looks like your A1C is 5.4.
Yeah.
Didn't get the fasting insulin.
Does that mean I'm pre-diabetic if it's 5.4? It's above 5?
Okay. So I'm not going to – we don't do diagnosis here. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
So just want you to know that.
Yeah, no diagnosis.
Yeah, we don't do diagnosis. So I'm going to look for your the actuals if you uploaded it.
It's a lifelong thing where I just have to watch my glucose.
You're going to, yeah, and it's really, this program should help it come down. Now, here's the thing. A1Cs are not always accurate. That's why I like to see the whole picture. So A1C in somebody who is like an athlete, who's really utilizing their sugar, their oxygen differently. Their blood cells tend to last longer. There's a bunch of situations where they're not accurate. So looking at them alone is not enough. So I like to look at it in context with everything else. So here's your Jahavani's and here's your blood test.
Right.
So you didn't get insulin, it looks like.
No. I didn't get that. These were meant to be my, like, my normal regular ones. I did not ask for something special, but this is, like, just so recent. I had to submit it because it's got the A1C. I'm in here to heal my insulin receptors, and the reasons that I want to do that are because I want to not go on medications for blood pressure and for low thyroid. So I'm really just looking at how can I make my insulin receptors, buck up in some way there where I don't need to resort to meds.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. Get through the reset. We have somebody, I don't know if she's on the call today, Beatrice, who she started the program and she'd been on thyroid medication for 50 years. And she had, you have Hashimoto's situation. I won't call it the Hashimoto's, but you do have an autoimmune thyroid process going on here. She had numbers much higher. Yours is 63. Hers were like close to 1,000. And she was able to reverse it in 4 or 5 months with getting her glucose under control. Okay. So, your cholesterol's fine. Your triglycerides are fine. Your HDLs are a little lower than I'd like, but fine. LDLs are a little high. Do you have a family history of heart disease?
Yes. My dad's a diabetic and my mom had high blood pressure. So
I would recommend that you get more testing done, even if you have to pay for it out of pocket. I would recommend that you get the detailed, it's called the advanced lipid panel.
Okay.
Just to see where you're at with that, see what your particle size is and all that is with the history. And then I would recommend you get the fasting insulin and C-peptide. And we'll see what the overall picture is. But seriously, you want to do what you're doing. You want to get everything in range. You want to eat just the fresh foods instead of, some of the processed stuff. I'm just looking real quick. There's a lot of tests here, and I can't review all of them. But
yeah. My potassium is way, way low, too. If I do, earlier you mentioned about electrolyte replacement, I think. Does that address anything with potassium?
Yeah. So if your potassium's off, taking potassium could be helpful. An electrolyte replacement would be really good for that.
Okay. And just for inspiration, the person you mentioned who reversed her thyroid, you know, issue in 4 or 5 months, would that mean that I want to be on like a thing where I make sure my blood sugar doesn't go over 110 for 4 to 5 months in a row?
You should make sure your blood sugar doesn't go above 110 for the rest of your life.
Ah, all right.
And that's what you guys need to understand. This isn't just during the reset. This is where you're going to keep going. And when you start to add foods back, you don't want it to go up above 110 ever. I mean, occasionally it's going to pop up, but your goal is to shoot for just keeping it there forever.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Especially with a family history of heart disease and diabetes.
Yeah. Okay. When I've looked at potassium supplements in the past, they're really like anemic or something. They're really tiny, like very small amounts in a single capsule. Is there like specific potassium supplements that I ought to?
I think liquid is going to be best. Ionized minerals get in best. So I would look at something like Good Start, Trace Minerals Research, Iodon, I think it is, that's from Hippocrates Institute. I've used Trace Minerals. Not Trace Minerals. What have I used? No, I've used, I think I've used the Good State. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But you get a liquid one, and then you can control your dosage.
Okay. I do have Trace Minerals on my shelf. I haven't taken them for a bit. But
well, Trace Minerals is a grouping. You don't want that. You want just the potassium.
Got it.
Because it's only going to have minute amounts in there.
Okay.
Right. And looking at avocados and broccoli tend to be good sources that are not high glycemic.
Okay.
But it looks like your ranges are good.
Yes.
It looks like you're really keeping it good, but you've had a couple of high ones, like a 175. So
yes.
Your fastings are good, but you're having postprandial ones that are high. Ketones, you're getting into ketosis with this. So, a one-time mistake with the gluten-free fruit crackers. So you know how to do this. Were you eating more of those types of things, more starchy foods before you started?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know that if you do this and you get it, you know, you get it consistent, and you're going to see your A1C come down. It should. And if not, we'd look at liver, you know, especially with the lipid stuff. You don't want to look at liver. I would look at your liver enzymes and see if there's any elevations there. I don't see them off the top of my head. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see the liver enzymes in here. So I don't know what they were. Oh, wait, ALKphos 96, a little on the high side. AST, they're both in the higher end of the optimal range. So I don't see major stuff there. Your free T4, free T3 is low as well, which you know that because you have the thyroid stuff. So I would say do it. Just like do it consistently and just keep it going. And you could actually get an A1C test kit at the grocery store, you know, the Walgreens kind of thing. So, you know, you can test your own A1C that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for the encouragement and the help. I'm jazzed, you know, by hearing that it's possible,
yeah.
The thyroid and the blood pressure thing. Goodness.
It's so possible.
Yeah.
I'm going to put out this thing to you and to everybody else. You've got to trust your body. It has amazing healing capacity. And when we get in the way and say, why is it not doing it fast enough? And why is this not doing it? Am I doing something wrong? It looks like from what you're showing me that you're doing it right. You just have to keep it consistent. And consistent and consistent.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, Heather, I see yours. Let me get you open.
Hi, I'm here.
You're here? Okay.
I am.
Heather, yeah. Hey. All right. Let me go back to, I'm juggling screens here. So, Heather is, you were right before. Giovanna. Ah, there you go, Heather. Okay, so is there a specific question you want me to focus on? You just want me to look at your numbers and...
No, it's actually a specific question because it's a pretty lightweight question. I was able to have my integrative doctor prescribe the continuous glucose monitor.
Oh,
and
nice.
The first day, yeah, it's lovely. Because I was missing data because I didn't want to spend all the money on test strips. And I especially wanted to take a look at the full picture throughout the 24 hours, which I hadn't been able to do. So the first 12 hours, they said disregard, you know, do your glucose meter. But the next couple of days, I had some real discrepancies between the Keto Mojo and the Libra. And I did that when I saw something kind of odd. Like I had one reading where it just said low, and the Keto Mojo had me at 76. And so that got me thinking, what should be the range? Because there's a place where I set the ideal range. What should it be?
Oh, okay. So I set the range personally at 70, which is the lowest it allowed you to go. And then I set it to 100, because if I'm creeping up over 100, I want to see it.
Got it.
Okay. So that's what I set it for, 70 to 100. You have the 14 day or the 10 day?
14.
Yeah. When I got the 14 day, I tested it. I had a 10 day on one arm, the 14 day on the other arm. Huge discrepancy between them. I was hoping that they're getting better and more accurate, but it wasn't as accurate. I can test my 10 day. I have a 10 day and then I test it against, I still have an old True to Go. And I tested against that, and they're within a few points of each other consistently. So there's a few times when you're going to see it be off. It's
okay.
When you're right after a meal, in that time when it's rising, the continuous meter is going to be lag behind by maybe 10, 15 minutes. So you'll see discrepancies while it's rising up rapidly and then while it's coming down rapidly. So you just look at it for the overall look of it, but you will see some discrepancies while your sugar's going up fast or down fast. Right.
Okay.
And it's just because it's like 10 minutes behind. And that's
I had one after a meal that was 3 hours after a meal where the Libra was 60 and the Keto Mojo was 83. And that was the biggest discrepancy that I saw. So.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the 14 day.
I can see why.
And somebody just told me they're discontinuing the 10 day at the end of June. And what my plan is to get as many as I can get my hands on before they discontinue it. Right? I still have the 14 day meter, you know, but I don't, and I would, if I do, you know, what I will before I run out of tens, I'm going to get the sensors for the 14 day, and I'm just going to wear it for like, even if I wear it for the whole duration of 10 days for the one and the other, I'm going to just compare them before I feel like I'm confident with it. I got it when it first came out, and I'm hoping that they've improved it. Maybe I have a defective meter, maybe. In cases like that, I sometimes find that it's really helpful to call the company.
Okay.
And frequently they'll just send you another meter or they'll send you another sensor.
Okay, I will do that. I also thought because they give you the option to actually read your finger stick, if I used the Libra finger stick, wouldn't that maybe tell the machine, hey, you're off?
It does. It tells the machine you're off. It's off. It tells you the machine's off. I find that's fine. I bought those sticks, but what I found was that the finger stick usually matched my Mojo or my other finger stick. It didn't match the unit.
Okay, so it's still the same issue, and the unit isn't taking that information and correcting it. So
yeah.
Not that smart.
Right? Look at the positioning. Do you have it on a part of your arm? The adhesive gotten loose? I found that I lost a couple of them in bathing suit time, where I was trying to take off a wet bathing suit and knocked it off. But you know what? When that happens, I actually called the company. I'm like, this happened. Is there any way I could get it back on? And they would say, no, we'll send you another one.
Oh, great.
Don't be afraid to call them. I think I'm on their list of, like, you know, the people they don't want to hear from anymore. I haven't called them in a few months, but that's happened to me a few times.
I just say for other listeners, the cost comparison between the two, using the GoodRx coupon, it was more than half the cost of the Keto Mojo.
Really? Wow. That's
I was able to get for the actual sensors, I think it was $30 or $35 for the sensor.
You got it for $35?
Using the GoodRx coupon. Yep.
Dang. What coupon did it use?
Huh? GoodRx. It's an online.
Tell me what it is again. Spell it.
Good. GoodRx.
Cool. Because I was shocked when I sent my husband off to do errands for me, and I gave him my prescription, and he went off to get it. And I expected less 14-day, 10-day. It's going to be overall cost, because it's how much more does it cost them to make it? It's like nothing, really. It doesn't cost them anything different. But they charged $75 for the 14-day. $75 compared to $35 for the 10.
And yeah, my bill with the GoodRx coupon at Walmart was $69 for the 2 liters.
Wow.
And then there was an additional, not readers, the
sensors.
Sensors. And then the reader was $65.
Yeah.
With the coupon.
That's a one-time deal. The reader I got for free because I already had a 10-day. So they gave it to me for free. But I won't use it until I actually do that two-arm test. So I'm going to be walking around sometime with two arms with me testing them on two just to make sure that they're accurate before I'm willing to switch over.
Okay. So I think the best answer is be suspicious and use the Keto Mojo.
Yeah, and use it for the general, the trend. Like, I love that you can see the graph. That's what I do. And I love that you can see the overnight, what happens overnight.
And I need to set that range. I think I had it 75 to 110. So you're that
70 to 110 is fine because 110 is where we're telling you. I'm just spooky and I like to keep it below 100. I'm not always successful, but
so far I've only had 3 readings above 100 since day one. And two of them were on day one. One was because I had a snack that had actual chocolate that I didn't realize I'd made with actual chocolate. So
okay.
I think good. Very good.
It looks like you're doing really well.
I feel like I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Heather. All right. So we have Las Vegas. I'm not sure who that is. If it's Barbara.
Yes, it's Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. I'm recognizing your number now. It never shows your name, but I've got your number pegged.
Bless your heart.
I did
put my name in.
You put your name in when you
Pardon me?
In. Yeah. Did you do one of the forms? Should I look for it or not? You just have some questions.
No, I didn't do the lab form. I can tell you what my...
So you can tell me what some things are, and you have a specific. I always like to know the question before I hear the data because it gets my mind going in the direction of what I want to be asking for. So, do you have a particular question?
You didn't see my question then.
Oh, you put it in the chat. No, I didn't because I'm still. Let me come back to you. I'll just keep your hand up and I'll come back to you, and I'll go look in the chat because I was first doing the people who had submitted their forms.
All right. Thank you, doctor.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'll leave you there. Leave your hand up, and I'll come right back to you, okay?
Sure. Okay, thank you, dear.
And there was one person who put in the chat.
I did put all the questions in the Q&A.
Okay. The person that said they had filled out a form, anybody else, if you filled out one of the forms and you want me to address you, now's your chance. Raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through everything. Because I had before, I'll just call out names so you guys know who I have forms from. I have, and if you're on the call, then raise your hand. I see Petra. Petra might be on the call. I'm going to get her early because she's in Europe. Swathi. I have Petra. I have Denise. I have Karen. Karen Lawrence, I have Heather, we did. Javana, I did. And Mara, another one from Swathi, and LaShawn. I think I saw that LaShawn had to leave. And then Lynn doing her testing. All right. So if any of you are on, here's your chance to raise your hand. Star two. I see only Illinois. And who's at only Illinois?
That's Karen.
Karen, okay, let me go back to yours. All right. You guys, it's a good thing I'm a tech fool because I can, a tech guru here because I can do this.
And LaShawn was just on the chat, so she's here.
Yeah, so tell her to raise her hand. If she's not on where she can raise her hand, then I'll go ahead and I'll just go through her form and, you know, tell my observation. So if you have a particular question, I'm going to the bottom where the questions were. Comments or questions? Here we go. You tested on May 28th, hoping you help me with these numbers. Okay. Hoping to find clues as to why I feel the way I do. So tell me what more about what how you feel.
Well, besides the brain fog and dizziness, lightheadedness kind of thing, I get tired fast. Like my legs, the thighs especially, I'll get tired.
Okay.
Just like doing the bursts. I can only do so much and then I've got to quit.
Got it. Okay. And then how long has this been going on?
Years.
Years. Okay.
Lots of years. Yeah. I've been to the doctor asking about it.
It's like, oh, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. But they don't know nothing.
They don't. Okay. So, have you seen any shift improvement, since you've started to test your sugar and shift things?
Well, as far as muscles go, or?
Well, as far as muscles, the brain fog, the overall tiredness, dizziness.
Overall, things are improving. I mean, stuff is still there, but it's better.
Good. That's what I want to know. Okay. So I'm going to go through some of your numbers. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It looks like on a lab test, you had a fasting glucose of 70. Hemoglobin A1C of 4.9, fasting insulin of 1.6. I think we talked about these once before.
Yes.
Highest fasting glucose is 72, lowest is 58, average is 68, highest bedtime 89, 63, post-meal, the highest you've seen is 111, average is 89. Okay, so here's the thing. If how much grapefruit causes your sugar to go up? Because it looks like the highest you've seen is 111, which isn't bad.
Yeah, and that wasn't with grapefruit. With the grapefruit, well, I ate the whole thing. And I went to, I don't remember exactly, something like 150 or something.
Oh, you did go to 150. Okay, so you didn't write that down. Okay.
Well, these numbers that I put in there this time was for just the last week.
Oh, okay. So you have grapefruit raises it to 150. Yes, you want to avoid that. What about blueberries and green apples?
If I eat like half a cup of blueberries, I'm okay. If I eat a quarter of a green apple, I'm okay. But if I eat more than that, well, actually, I don't know how much more because like with the green apple, when I went high, I ate the whole thing. And with the blueberries, when I went high, I did my usual thing and I just filled the bowl up. I love things. So then I thought, well, okay, I'll test with smaller amounts. Now I have not gone to anything larger than a quarter of an apple or half a cup of blueberries.
Okay.
So, right. But now, like when I do the, I think it was the blueberry blood balancer or blood sugar balancer. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
That raised it. But then again, I don't remember how much was in that recipe, but I ate the whole thing. So I'm sure there was more than half a cup in it.
Okay, so a few things I'm looking at, the numbers you provided me. Do you take any zinc supplements?
I am not right now, but I'm thinking I should, because is that one?
Your alkaline phosphatase, yep, is low. So I would look at supplementing with your zinc.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done a chronometer to see your levels of macros, how much protein you're actually getting? Because the creatinine being low and the globulin being low, those make me suspicious of protein. Your protein
that I'm
is
not
low,
getting enough? Or?
That you're not getting enough.
Okay. Because I've not done the chronometer thing.
Yeah, I would start just putting your numbers in there. It's not that hard. That or my Fitness Pal, those will all give you macros. I like Chronometer better because it does better job of the micros. You know, you'll get trace minerals and molybdenum and all that kind of stuff. But you can do either one. But both of them have an app. You can just do it on your phone if you wanted to. Right? I want to see what you're taking in and what needs to be adjusted there. Okay? Your cholesterol is really high. Your triglycerides aren't so high because you're keeping your blood sugar under control. LDLs are high. HDLs are 110. And, you know, there is an upper limit to HDL before we start to suspect some inflammation that the body's trying to deal with and possible liver stuff. Now, I don't see your other numbers unless you – did you upload any other numbers?
Which other numbers?
Like if they did a lipid panel, a liver panel? Like what
no,
else
I didn't.
That AST, ALT?
It was a deal on some stuff that I got a CMP for free.
Oh, this
and then
is
I just
CMP.
Added in
yeah.
some other tests.
Yeah, that doesn't
so I didn't get the other thing.
Okay, vitamin D is very low. I would, yeah, very low, but it's lower than I would like. You said I take D3 5,000 daily, increasing it. I think that's a good idea because I was going to say around 7,500, so you're going to take two every other day, right? I think that's a very good idea because that's what I would say. You don't want to go to 10,000 because I don't think you need to go to 10,000. I think you'll raise that. But I would test it again in a month or 6 weeks, just the D, to see if it's going up. And if it's not, then you can do two a day for at least for a while. Okay, that makes a huge difference in inflammation and mood and everything. Do you know what your blood pressure is?
I don't know right offhand exactly what it is, but I know it's always low.
It's low. One of the things
yeah.
I'd recommend, especially now with your dizziness, is it all the time or just when you're changing positions? When you're laying down, when you're moving?
It's pretty much all the time. And, I mean, sometimes I am outright dizzy, like, you know, like, whoa, room is spinning kind of thing. But most of the time, like 99% of the time, it's just it's more lightheadedness kind of a deal. And mm-hmm. for some reason, when I'm standing at the sink and I turn around to the island to pull out the drawer to get something, then it feels like it's spinning.
Okay.
But,
so here's the thing. Have you had any kind of evaluation, like a chiropractic evaluation, to see if you have any cervical? When you tell me that, I'm concerned about either cervical spine problems or, you know, potentially some blockage. And I would look at, you know, talking to your doctor about, given the high cholesterol, something in your carotid artery. So when you're turning, you're blocking off one of the carotid arteries, which would block off some blood flow to your brain. So that's the kind of stuff I would be looking at.
Well, I have had lots of chiropractic done. Not recently, but I've been to, you know, when I first started doing, well, years ago, I started going to a chiropractor. As far as the carotid artery
and this
thing,
was after
though,
the dizziness started and you told them about the dizziness?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
I would, just to err on the side of caution, have a carotid artery scan done. And there's another test called the calcium scan. The other blood tests I would recommend are HSCRP, homocysteine, ESR, erythrocyte sedimentation rate, And that would be it. Yes. Those are the ones I would recommend. Now, with this tiredness, I'd also recommend looking at your iron and ferritin to see if it's we want to rule out why you're tired. Looking at your thyroid. Do you have any thyroid imbalances here?
I probably do.
Okay. So those are the kind of things I'd want you to look at. Now, are you working with a personalized coach here?
No.
That would really be helpful given how chronic this is. Because we could get you on with, say, Lisa, who's amazing at digging in, you know, health mysteries, which I would classify this, right? You've been dealing with this. All the doctors say we don't know. You've been trying different things. So it might be worthwhile for you to do that. And I think we have a link. Lynn, do we have a link to sign up for it on the site? You could sign up for one session to see, you know, and talk to somebody and see if that's going to be worth it for you. But I really think you would be benefiting from it. Because I want to dig right now, and I just don't have time because I have a bunch of other people waiting, you know. I'm like, oh, I want to ask this, I want to ask that, I want to look at this, I want to look at that, you know, and help you solve this problem. But off the top, the ones I recommended was that, you know, really ruling out a lipid problem and a blockage problem, because I think that could be, you know, that's serious if you don't address it, right?
Okay.
And then do the chronometer just to see. And if you do the chronometer, you can actually download a report, I think, from it, and you can, or you can, if you wanted me to look at it, you can actually give me your user ID and password, and we can look at it on a call. But if you have a coach, then you're going to get that consistent care and be able to really dig into all of this stuff.
Okay. So those other tests, the carotid test, lipid panel, what else? Is there HSCRP?
HSCRP, if you do an advanced lipid panel, if you go to my runmylabs.com, or, you know, if you can get your doctor to do it, even better, but most of them don't even know what an advanced lipid panel is. The advanced lipid panel can be so, so important, and that includes the HSCRP. Homocysteine, super important, because if that's high, then we can just, you know, look at B vitamins. That's good. The whole CBC, I don't see CBC numbers here. All of that stuff, again, would be stuff to look at to see is it a B12 imbalance. We've already identified the vitamin D and a zinc imbalance. Yeah, but I think all this stuff would, you know, just set up a conversation with one of our coaches and go from there, because I think you need to make sure you get this under control. This is too long.
It is. It's been 30 years.
No, this is crazy. There's something going on here. And I can't tell, because I don't have enough data right now, what angles I would go on. But the chronometer could help a lot with some of this stuff. It could be a stomach acid problem and you're not absorbing protein. And that's what I would be able to tell if you do the chronometer and know how much protein you're actually getting in, if you're not absorbing it. If it's a good number but you're not absorbing it, it's going to make a huge difference.
Okay. What's the other one, the chronometer or...
Oh, there was one called MyFitnessPal. They both have free apps.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. Last chance for folks that I just mentioned your names if you're in here. Otherwise, I'm just going to randomly go through. And then at the end, I'll read through some of these forms. And who was it that was on, Lashane? Who did you say it was? There was one that's on. I could just go through it, because if she didn't come on the phone, I can't do much with it.
Yeah, it's Lashane, but she is only on broadcast.
Okay, so I'll just go through her thing and I'll make some observations. She can't actually ask me questions, but Lashane, let me look back. Okay, so we did Heidi, Saucy, Petra, Denise, Karen, Heather. We did those three, and Mara, Saucy again, Lashane. Okay.
Yeah, so, she's very stressed and emotional right now, so I think that's part of why she doesn't want to come on. But she also put some other numbers on in the chat, so I don't know if you've already got those.
No, I don't have anything from the chat. The chat goes by too fast.
No, I mean, no, but in what you've got there from her. She said she had...
Yeah, I'll go through these, and if there's anything more, then you can just read them to me, because that'd be easier.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So 6'4", holy cow. When I saw 165 pounds, I thought, oh, you know, what weight to lose. But no, she wants to lose 5 pounds. 6'4", wow. Don't know the body fat. Don't know the, she hasn't done any lab testing except A1C of 5.2, which isn't too bad. And that was back, that was last year. Might have even come down by now. She didn't put any numbers for fasting glucose or any of her glucose numbers or any ketone numbers. She's only getting 5 to 6 hours of sleep. So, well, Sean, this is a big problem, okay? You're going to sleep
so
at 4 to 5
I've got a non-fasting glucose. She has a non-fasting of 77.
Okay.
Her hemoglobin A1C is 5.2.
About that.
She has a homocysteine of 13.7.
Oh.
Yeah. HDL is 61. And triglycerides are 43.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a massive inflammation here. There may be a B12 folate. I mean, an easy way to just see about this homocysteine is to take, like, Seeking Health has something called HomoCysteX, and it's got B12, folate, and B6, and a couple of other things, or looking at those nutrients individually. So the homocysteine needs to come down. That's a problem. I don't know what her major symptoms are, but I'm looking at, you've got to go to bed, right? Oh, wait, are you on night shift? Because it looks like you're eating between 2 and 4 a.m. and going to bed at 4 to 5 a.m. Even so, that's too close together. So I would be looking at, if you are on night shift and that's the time you have to go to bed, great, but don't eat any later than 1, okay?
Yeah, she and I had a conversation. I don't know if it was on here or on Facebook, because my husband works third shift and he's a nurse. And so I was sharing some ideas about how I help him, because he's got a 30-minute drive to work and she was eating while she was going to work because trying to stay awake. And so I'm just reinforcing what you're saying, I guess, is
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Yeah. So she does. You're confirming for me that she does work night shifts, and that's why she does that. She's only getting 5 to 6 hours, so what can you do? Think about ways that you can get yourself to stay in bed longer. I know it's hard because it's sunlight and activity's happening, but upping that to 7 to 8 is going to make a huge difference. Spacing the meals closer to further out. Now 3 hours, go to 3.5, you know, and then go to 4. Doing 2 bursts a day, so add a third one. Do that for a while. Add a fourth one. But you're doing dancing 1 or 2 times a day. That's really good. On heart math breaks, you're taking 2 to 3. Easy enough to add more, 1 before each meal, before you get out of bed and late in the day. So just start moving on in that direction. I don't see any particular questions, so I don't know what any health issues she's trying to solve, but that's what I would recommend. Okay?
Well, so she's deficient in many vitamins and ANA positive. And then, so she has to eat while working. Yeah, and my husband does the same thing because he doesn't get a break.
Isn't there a legal thing that you're not allowed to do that to people?
And not when you have a job like a nurse.
No, but they're still, I think, obligated by law to give breaks. I mean, you can
nope.
contact services
yep.
in the state and find
yep.
out.
Yep, done that. Been there, done that. Yep. Not when you have a position like a nurse. A nurse, a doctor, fireman, policeman.
That's
yep.
cruel. I mean, how do you expect somebody to be on and doing the best job? Anyway,
yep.
so you're not going to get around that, but space the meals a little bit further apart. And you're home during the day, so eat as many of those meals during the day as you can. Like do an intermittent fast and You know, I would say if you can skip that last meal, that's going to make a big difference. So I think that I would just continue with the sweet spot and keep upping the ante on all of these activities that you can do. Figure out ways that you can space the meals more. Figure out ways that you can get more sleep. And, yeah, start testing your glucose to see what's going on with it, because I don't see any glucose numbers other than that one. And get that, you got to get that homocysteine down. So I don't know any other things, but the HDL looks fine. The triglyceride looks fine. The glucose numbers look fine. The A1C come down a little bit, and that's going to, you're going to work on that during this program. But that homocysteine has to be addressed. So
yeah, and falling asleep while driving is something she said too.
Because she's only getting 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night and probably working really hard.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would look at, you know, something that's an adaptogen to support you, because your adrenals are probably really burned out. You can get a multi-mushroom tea. You can get ashwagandha. Cordyceps, I think, would be really helpful for you because it helps to provide stamina. And not knowing anything else about your health issue, that's all I could say. Like cordyceps and ashwagandha make Mushroom Mama makes a nice blend that has some of those in there. That you can look at, or you could just buy them individually. It's cheaper to do that. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, and I'll just, what I do with my husband is, I send him with some of the elixirs and smoothies and things. So, because, you know, he's charting or something and he can drink it.
But right. Drinking your meals, if you're eating on the job, drinking your meals is going to be your best bet. And you can make them pretty hearty. You know, you can add avocado or coconut or other kinds of heartier foods to it. And, drinking your meals rather than eating them. And elixirs are awesome. Okay. You've got access to my elixir book.
Yeah. She says DHEA deficient. And thank you so much. We'll test soon.
Great. All right. And I would look at your vitamin D, because I don't know what your numbers are, but get it tested and address it, because it's probably low is my guess. Okay. And look at those B12, folate, and B6 to support you in getting that homocysteine down. That's usually why it's deficient. You probably have some methylation issues. Okay. Super. All right. I'm going to go to Barbara. When we find her question, you said you moved it to the Q&A, right? And then we'll go with whatever other questions are in the Q&A. All right. Do you remember how long ago you put Barbara in? I'm trying to get a gauge. Oops, I'm refreshing, but it's not refreshing. By this time of day, my computer's saying, I'm hungry, feed me. Which is what my body's doing too, because it's the end of the day on the fifth day of a fast, and I get to eat today, and I'm not there we go. All right.
I think it's towards the beginning.
Okay. Let me do that. Barbara, I'm opening your lineup, and then I'm looking to find what you typed in, your numbers, because you said you typed in your numbers. So you don't have to repeat them.
Yeah, okay. Line is open.
2 minutes after it started, that gives me good. Something's going on with my computer at the end of the day. I rebooted it this morning, but it's saying I don't want to go. So maybe you'll have to leave it to me. Okay, here we go. We have Krista and Mara's there, yeah. And Trisha, Indra, Barbara, here we go. Low blood pressure, feeling somewhat. Okay, Barbara, can you hear me? Can you speak?
I can hear you, dear. Yes, I'm on the phone. Okay. I'm on the phone.
Good, I can hear you. Okay, so you said you're experiencing low blood pressure, feeling somewhat weak and lightheaded. Is this expected with my situation, which has come down quickly? I'm trying to focus and just being grateful, but I've never had it this low. Now 82 over 60 with 75 over. Yeah, so let me ask you this. Are you on any blood pressure medication?
I take no meds.
No meds.
Even though I was diagnosed diabetic, I've been, you know, just working on exercise and my food, and wasn't always successful. That's why I was grateful when Sean, my daughter, you know, got me this program for Mother's Day. So I, I've always had, my blood pressure is just usually right on, you know, ranges from usually 117 over 67 to 122 over 75, you know, in that range.
Yeah, so good range.
I'm really.
Yeah. So a couple of things I can recommend. Yeah, so blood sugar, when you're dropping your blood sugar, it will decrease your blood pressure. So it's very common. You may have some adrenal issues going on. So, and first of all, I want to congratulate you. 78 years old on no medications. It's really, you're like a rare bird, because 40%
thank you so much.
Of people over 40 are on medications, right? When you get into 70s, like 98% of people are on medications. So congratulations to you for being in charge of your own health. So that's
thank
that's
you so much. I feel strongly about that, and I have refused medications, because naturally being diabetic, diagnosed as such, I had slightly elevated cholesterol and the thyroid, you know, they didn't recommend thyroid because I was within the normal low limits, but they were really pushing the cholesterol, and of course I refused it flat out, but anyway, it's but I'm used to feeling, once I started getting down into the much better numbers, I was just feeling euphoric and great energy, and my 1 to 2 mile power walks were, I had multiple bursts during that time, and it brought my numbers, you know, down into the 80s and even low 80s. But then Monday I was noticing it slightly, but, and so even though I had discussed with you about the dehydrated goat milk whey that provides trace minerals in abundance, and it's the largest source of electrolytes I've seen, and it's the concentrated high in sodium to make the synovial fluid to carry the calcium throughout our bodies, and it's, so I had been not using that ever since we talked, but when I was feeling so depleted on Monday, I took a cup of it, and I did slightly feel better, but it did raise my sugar from 105 to 140. And I just took half of it, but I was wondering if it was electrolytes, because
yeah,
I'm just not used to feeling
as you said that. So
feeling like
this.
I'm used to high, because I've gone from high energy to
low,
very low energy, and just lightheaded enough that I just want to shut my eyes, and I've just had made myself go. Well, then Tuesday, my blood pressure was 81 over 61 and the morning, and then I felt worse, and it went to 75 over 56, and it has come back up to, this morning it was 100 over 70, I took it at 11, I took it this morning, and it was 108 over 73, but I, you know, I just haven't been able to accomplish a whole lot because I'm just not feeling well. But I thought, well, Barbara, your body's going through a lot of changes.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to feel really. And I just wanted the confirmation from you that this is normal for what I'm doing and temporary, and that if there's anything, adjustments that I can make, because
yeah.
I have commitments and I've got to do.
And you want to be energetic, and I want you to be energetic. So it's not normal. I mean, your blood pressure will go down as your glucose goes down. And your numbers are still in those below 100s like it was before. Has it dropped into the 90s again?
Yes, I'm, well, with not, with, I've been lightheaded enough, I haven't been able to do as long a power walk. I took one yesterday. I didn't take one today at all. I'd done a few bursts on the rebounder, but let's see. This yesterday I was 110 in the morning for some reason, and then I went to 95 before I ate, and bedtime was 109. Then this morning I was 95, and I haven't. I did take it before I ate this morning at 8:15 I felt really depleted and dizzy, and I thought maybe if I ate something. So I had some chia with a little bit of my homemade almond milk and a few walnuts. And it went from 95 this morning at 6 to 105 at noon.
Wow. And, first of all, I'm thrilled that it's in the 90s a lot more. That's phenomenal, given you started in the 160s to 180s. So here's the thing.
I'm so thrilled that I'm looking at these numbers, and I can't even thank you enough. I am so thrilled. I just... I'm euphoric over the whole thing because it wasn't terribly uncommon for me there to be a one in front of those numbers,
Right. Right. 100-point drop in glucose fasting is nothing to sneeze about. But let's address this dizziness thing and the pressure. So one of the things you can do is when you start your morning, and you can even sip it throughout the day, is to put a little salt in your water. That's a good place to start. Okay. Then I would look at getting in a go ahead.
Little Himalayan salt in my water?
Yeah, put some Himalayan salt, maybe start with a quarter teaspoon, and just gradually raise that up. That could be it. I would say, getting an electrolyte test would be helpful if you can get your doctor to just run electrolytes and report that, look, my blood sugar is down like this. I'm wondering if my sodium went down too low and other electrolytes. Can you run it? But it's more than sodium.
Generally my sodium, because I'm using the Capra Mineral Whey, is spot on. And he has commented that quite, often people in my age bracket are low on that because it's not sodium chloride. It's the kind of sodium our body has to have. And so, no, it's usually spot on. And for my labs, my last lab, which was 6 months ago, and I was, to tell you the truth, I hadn't gone in because I wanted to go in with these fabulous numbers and have them tell me that I have reversed diabetes.
All you have to do is
I already have.
You have. Your numbers are below. Not even insulin resistant with those. If you're in the 90s, you're pre-insulin resistant. You're not even officially insulin resistant. So,
I think I'm going to cry. Now just keeping it there, you're right. Where I'm doing, the metabolic reset with the insulin receptors resting and healing, then when we're through with the reset, will I be able to reintroduce some of these foods that previously that are good foods, but that previously have raised my glucose?
Will
I be able to reintroduce those and stay where I am in my numbers?
Well, that's the idea. So here's the thing. We have this whole process at the end of the metabolic reset is, are you ready to reintroduce the foods? So the are you ready questions, you have to be, that your glucose is consistently here, that your energy, blah, blah, blah. So we'll look at that. You'll look at that sheet and go, I think I need to do the metabolic reset for another couple of weeks and then ask myself those questions. So not everybody, especially given you started way higher than a lot of people have, like with the 180s, 160s, whatever, you may have to do 2 months of reset. Right,
okay.
Where somebody else who started borderline at the end of the reset can just start introducing. Okay, but let's see where you are at the end of the reset. If you're in the 80s and you're feeling good and your weight's where you want to be, your energy's where you want to be, then more power to you. You might pick up like whatever fruits might have caused you a problem or quinoa or whatever, and you test it. And if it goes up, that food stays off.
Okay. Well, I was at 165, but I am a large frame and very, I have really good muscle tone for my age. And so, but I've lost 8 pounds.
Nice.
And, but anyway, but as far as, as far as the electrolytes, do you recommend that I, still do? Now, I did do, because I was feeling so awful this morning, or I took some Tapper Whey. I took a half of a dose at,
but did
10,
it raise
10,
your sugar? 10,
but it only raised me, it only raised me 10 points today.
Okay. So if that's something that you feel like is not raising your sugar and is giving you it, the other option is to get a good electrolyte replacement. All right. So you can do, there's a number of kinds. I think Seeking Health has a good electrolyte replacement, and it's got a balanced electrolyte approach. And start taking it. I think Liquid Light from Sun Warrior, they have a good overall balanced mineral supplement that could help. Putting a little salt in your water at the beginning of the day, and you may end up getting, some people get to half to one teaspoon. So your body's getting used to this new level. It's going, whoa, baby, I've been functioning at, twice this glucose. How am I going to get used to it? And it can take a little while. But I want you to be comfortable in the meantime, right?
And I figured as much, and I didn't want to be a whiner, but I just, it's kind of hard to function, and I'm, I just wanted to see what, that was common sense to me, but I just thought, well, I would see what your suggestions are. But since the Capra Whey only raised me 10 points this morning, it is such a wonderful product. I think maybe I'll try that again. But otherwise, you would recommend, what's the name of it again?
Seeking Health has an electrolyte replacement. Seeking Health is a company. You can go to our store, which is in the booklet that we gave you at the beginning of the program. It's just not our store. It's somebody else's, but we recommend it. But Doctor's Supplement Store. And if you go into the very first module of after the getting started, it says download this booklet of the various things to buy. And in there, it has a link to the supplement company that we've arranged to have access to their store. Okay. And they have a lot of those. They have Seeking Help in there.
Okay. The protein supplement powder that I've never used before, but I actually got Warrior Force or Warrior Food.
Oh yeah, they have Warrior Food. Yeah, they have something called Liquid Light.
Liquid Light. Okay. Well, this protein powder, I have a little digestive issue with it. Maybe I put too many greens in it, but it's just got pea protein and sprouted brown rice protein, carob, Nepal cactus and cinnamon bark and whole leaf stevia, and it's organic.
Yes, sometimes tea causes digestive issues for folks. So you may want to be one of those. Sometimes people don't tolerate the pea protein. You may be one of those.
Pea protein.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I did fewer greens in it last night for the dinner meal, and I didn't have as much digestive distress as I did before.
I still would recommend that you go make an appointment with your doctor and say, I want my electrolytes tested.
Okay. Well, they were excellent But
that's six
months
right? You were totally different state 6 months ago.
Yeah, I've only had these negative symptoms since this week, starting the reset.
Yeah. We want to see where electrolytes change dramatically from day to day, week to week, month to month. So I would want to see.
Well, they've always been. Yeah, they've always been perfect because I usually have the Capra Mineral Whey every morning, and because it's got such a wonderful, it's by a product, it's a company called Mountain Capra Cheese, and it's just got great, all from that great source of just strictly dehydrated goat milk whey, of all the trace minerals and everything, but you know.
If you eat the right amount that doesn't raise your sugar, that might be one that, once you get through this, you'll be able to do it. But I don't want to compromise your sugars when there's other ways to get minerals.
Yeah, I don't either. And I've only been experiencing these symptoms since I stopped using it every day.
I think it is the electrolyte thing.
Yeah. Plus the added thing of taking so long, doing this drop in blood sugar so quickly, I've made the cashew yogurt and I love that, and I wanted to do the coconut kefir. Can I, do I just use the organic unsweetened regular coconut?
The form I usually use for that is either you get a young Thai coconut and scrape it out. I don't do that. I buy frozen coconut meat from a company called Exotic Superfoods. Or there's another company that sells it on Amazon that I didn't like it as much. It's okay, but it's not as tasty. Or you can do it with coconut butter, like organic coconut butter. There's a number of companies that have that, and it comes in a jar like peanut butter, and you can make it. That's my least favorite because it just doesn't have the same creamy texture. So that's the way I've always done it to make coconut yogurt.
So you do a frozen coconut meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you defrost it, and then you blend it, and then you add probiotics to it, and you let it ferment.
Okay. Can I get that at a health food store? Or
I haven't seen it at health food stores. We order it online, a company called Exotic Superfoods.
Exotic Superfoods.
Yep.
Okay. And so it's more beneficial nutritionally than doing the, the coconut butter or the organic unsweetened coconut chips or whatever that, because I have soaked those and made coconut milk before.
Oh, I see. You have that. You can do that if you want to. Try it. You can try that. With the coconut chips and blend them, soak them, blend them. Yeah.
Yeah, and I put them through a nut milk bag.
Yeah. You can try that.
I can try that. Okay. And
that would be more and of a kefir. Yep, you can try that for sure.
And then I just add the probiotics to that. So.
Yep. Give it a try and let me know how it goes.
Okay, so the electrolytes is the only suggestion, anything that's the only thing I figured with how long you've done this, you would have people that have this issue.
The potassium, sodium from salts, electrolytes, those kind of things, I think, that, based on what you're telling me, I think that's the issue.
Okay. Well, on the previous lab, just for your information, my A1C was 7.4, my fasting glucose was 113. My triglycerides were good. My liver was good. In fact, my doctor said, you have a beautiful liver. And my creatinine was good. My GFR was good, really good for my age. My LDL was slightly elevated, and naturally with the blood sugar, with, you know, like it is, the A1C, so the and the HDL was slightly low, and so I'm excited about the next testing.
Yeah,
and the thyroid was, you know, the CBC was good. The thyroid was a low limit, but still within normal, and that which is a miracle considering the high blood sugar, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you say 116? Because that sounds lower than what you were saying you had been experiencing. Is that an unusual low today? You said your glucose was 113.
That was fasting, and I had done to bring that down because it was like 140 or something that morning. I got on the treadmill and ran.
Oh gosh, it's a good thing they didn't test your CPK. Yeah. Okay, that's what did it. So the exercise brought it down. So
what
it was
I did,
140 that's, in the morning. Got it.
It
All
was
right.
140, and I oh no, I'm gonna come in with an A1C over.
Come on, check down. That's why the A1C doesn't match up with the glucose. Good. Well, I'm going to move on because there's a bunch of other people waiting, but this is awesome. Electrolytes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Start with sodium in your water. You can do that today, right now. You can actually get potassium salts as well. Look at an electrolyte because even if you get to the Kapper way to add back, but you can't do the full dose because of the sugar, you can put the small amount, but then you want to supplement that with the extra electrolytes.
All right. Thank you so much. And should I force myself, even though I'm so low energy right now and kind of lightheaded, should I force myself to do more bursts? Or I'm in the habit of trying to listen to my body, but I'm feeling, you know, not very productive.
No, I'm thinking, you know, do some light exercise, but not heavy. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Do some light exercise and not heavy. Let's get your blood pressure up again. Let's get your electrolytes balanced. But also, I would check in with your doctor just to see, you know, if there's anything, if he can check or she can check your electrolytes and see where they're at.
Yeah, my electrolytes we want to be up because they're probably low, right?
They're probably low.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Rita Marie. I appreciate you so much, and I'm sorry if I took too much time.
No, you didn't take too much time. I just want to, you know, I think we covered everything. I love talking to you, so I could talk to you for hours, but I do need to give other people.
I could.
So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. So let's see. Put her hand down. All right. And we have Ontario. See, and then I'll go to the questions. All right. Okay. Ah, my computer's going wacky today. Okay. Ontario. Who's in Ontario?
Hello, this is Indra.
Indra. Okay. Well, I have one for you. So let me look.
Yes. Okay.
Have that in front of me. I had Indra here a minute ago. Nope. I must have gone
it's
back.
In the Q&A. It's in the Q&A.
Swathi and Mara?
I'm in the Q&A.
Oh, you're in the Q&A, not in the...
thought
I had seen one.
No.
No, okay. Okay, got it. All right, so just instead of looking at the Q&A, if you have numbers in the Q&A, I'll turn there, but if not, if it's just questions, just tell me.
Yeah, it's like I'm only eating the green section and my numbers are still in the hundreds. And even though they are, you know, they don't go up any higher than 25 after the meal during the process, but
okay.
The numbers are still in the hundreds.
All right.
And
so let's
kind
talk
of
other things,
that,
okay, besides food, mm-hmm. Remember there's five components.
Yeah.
How much are you sleeping?
Uh-huh. I'm sleeping, you know, off and on. Last night I slept pretty good. The night before I didn't. So it's like
how
anywhere from 5 hours to 7.
5 to 7. That's an issue.
I'm
okay.
trying to stay in bed even if I don't sleep.
Stay
like
in bed
said,
even
I mean.
If you're not sleeping. So we need to work on the sleep. Have you looked at the sleep module yet?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm doing all the...
Step by step, try all the things that we're talking about there. You know, the no TV or computer within an hour or two of bed,
right.
the not eating before mm-hmm. bed, but then there's herbs nope. and then there's the heart math. So I want to make sure you're doing all that. Number two, how much heart math or meditation or other things are you doing throughout the day?
I'm doing 3 to 4 times a day.
3 to 4 times. Okay. And do you feel relaxed after you do it?
Yes, I do.
Good. Okay. So up it to 5. Okay. Up it to 5.
Uh-huh.
How about bursts?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
How about your bursts?
My bursts I'm doing in the morning and at night.
Not throughout the day. So I want you to work on adding in more bursts throughout the day. So start with 1, then go to 2, get up to 8. 4 to 8 is where we're going.
Okay.
To keep that going. That increases growth hormone. It decreases insulin. It resets the receptors. And the stronger your muscles are, the more fit your muscles are, the better they are at taking the glucose from your blood.
Okay.
And then timing.
Because I have a knee issue, so that's why.
Mm-hmm. Say it again. Yeah. You have a knee issue? Don't go for all out. Just do what you can do to just get some movement in there. All right? Find those movements.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what about the meal timing?
Meal timings, I'm doing intermittent fasting, and I have at least 5 hours between meals, and I take 2 meals a day. Sorry, the helicopter is going. 2 meals a day, and could you repeat that? Because of the helicopter, I can hear you.
That one sounds good. That one you're doing well.
So the other thing
that I would say is on the 125s, have you identified the foods that raise it to 125?
It is the same thing what I'm eating. I'm pretty much taking salads and cooked greens. That's all I'm eating. I'm not eating anything extraordinary. And I see the recipe in your recipe guide. They are using fruit like grapefruit and blueberries, and I'm not sure if I can use those.
No. Don't use those at this point.
No? Okay, no.
So what I would say, what are you doing in fats? Do you have some good omega-3 fats in your diet?
Yes, I'm taking omega-3, magnesium, chromium, you know, the one you recommended. And I'm taking
what about dietary fats? Dietary fats.
Okay, that's what I'm confused about. When I take the greens, all the kale and chard and all those, does that not have fiber?
Oh, it has great fiber, but what about fat? They don't have fat.
Oh, I'm eating avocados and I'm taking olives.
Okay, good. All right. Just want to make sure, because it sounded like you were on a super low-fat diet, and that's not advisable for this situation anyway. I would look at, so what others, you said you're taking the chromium magnesium. Have you looked at maitake mushrooms?
I just bought those from Whole Foods. I found fresh, so I bought those.
Awesome.
So I'm going to take those,
Have you looked at some other supplements? Because you're really only a week into the metabolic reset. So it's really a matter of keeping this down, keeping it consistent. But there's extra stuff like maitake can really help. Are you taking any berberine?
Yes, I am taking that. That I've been taking for almost 2 months now. Yeah.
Berberine? Okay. How
I'm
much
taking berberine? 400 milligram once a day.
Okay. All the studies that showed that it lowered the glucose levels had them taking 500 milligrams 3 times a day.
Oh, 3 times a day.
So 400 milligrams
yeah,
3 times a day is fine. So
no,
I would
500,
increase. Yeah.
Okay. 3 times a day. Okay.
Yeah.
Do I have to take it with food or I can just take it?
No, you can take it anytime.
Anytime. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll up that.
Berberine.
Yeah.
You know, look at the maitake.
Mm-hmm.
See how the fresh ones go. You might consider getting a maitake powder.
I got the reishi powder yesterday. About that.
Reishi powder. Yeah. Get some maitake powder too. And that way you can make these little elixirs that you can have with your meal with the maitake to help bring the sugars down. It does really well with that.
Okay. And how about the, I read that we could use pomegranate seeds in the recipe a little bit.
I'd be careful with that until you let your sugars down. I would be careful.
Okay.
Right? Those recipes are there for, you know, test it and see how it goes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And given that the greens are raising it, I wouldn't.
Okay. I'm kind of afraid that if the food, I eat the same food again and again and again, I might get like.
That's right. I would vary the leaves. Right. I would vary the ingredients in the salad. But see if you, like, are you doing red bell pepper or beets or carrots in your salad?
No, no beets. Only red bell pepper, very little carrot. I'm doing a lot of cucumber and celery.
So what you can do is make a salad that doesn't have any of the red bell pepper or carrots.
Okay.
You just see, right? Just see how, compare that to when you do. Might be one of those or the other. Some people are sensitive to those sweeter vegetables, you know?
Okay. So can I try beets then? Same thing?
No.
Wrong.
You can try
no?
it later.
Okay.
Like, okay, try the
okay.
salad without that. But then you can add the beets, you know, one at a time you would add it. Okay, let me add beets.
Okay.
If it does keep it lower, that's great, you know. Then you test, oh, what about red bell pepper? Is it that? Or is it the shredded carrots or is it the beets? I definitely don't do those cooked. When you're making cooked greens, are you adding any of that in there?
No, I'm only adding the ginger and turmeric and green chilies.
Great.
Some spices like
onion?
Cumin and onions, yes. Onion and garlic, yes.
Okay, stop. Onions, cooked onions will sometimes raise people's blood glucose.
Okay. It's pretty much like steamed, so I will take those out.
Cooked ones,
okay.
So I would test without, right? So you take out all the onions, you take out all the bell pepper, you take out all the carrots, you take out, if you have beets in there, you take those out. And then you test those meals. And if it lowers your sugar, you know it's one of those. And then you, one at a time, you add them back. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, one more quick question in regard with the numbers. When you say 110 maximum, is that the fasting or just overall? Then you mentioned that the glucose number
meals.
Is 110.
Fasting should not go above 85.
Okay, so my numbers are all high right now. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so yeah, and give it time. Don't, you know, but find it out. If all your meals are raising it. What's your fasting?
Fasting is anywhere from 98 to 110, 112.
Okay, so that's why your sugars are going up to 125. It may not be the food at all. It may be that you just have to continue to do this. So 110 to 125 is only a 15-point raise. 98 to 1 is, it's not even a 25-point raise. So it's probably not the foods. It's your overall blood glucose dysregulation that's been there for a long time. And the reset will help it. So keep, you know, you took out a bunch of foods, right? You took out foods that raise it more. Yeah. So I would just give it time, hon. I think you're doing fine. Right? You can test those to see if it makes a difference, but you're not even going up by 25 points. Sorry, I didn't ask that at the beginning. I should have, my bad. But, the maitake can help. Upping the berberine can help. And upping all these other lifestyle factors, and then the sleep. The sleep is going to make a huge difference. Okay?
Yeah
you're doing okay. Right? You're doing okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't, we're in the metabolic reset. Let's just keep it that it doesn't go above 125 at this point, because that would be where, you know, that's the 25, you know, 15 to 25. But you can play around with what I said, like taking out the carrots, the onions, the bell pepper, and then adding the back time. Okay?
Yeah, I'm going on vacation it's like a family reunion for a week in Lake Tahoe, and I'm kind of concerned. I'm going to cook a lot of greens and take them with me.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, you just stick to what you know. I've been doing this and traveling a lot for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it gets a little frustrating sometimes, and I just have to let that go and say, I make this choice because I want my body to heal, to be healed.
Right.
To be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, LA Tahoe is not hard. You know, there's health food stores there. There's grocery stores there. Produce is abundant.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of avocados in California, even in Lake Tahoe. So, you know, get your avocados.
Uh-huh.
bring your olives. My favorite olives these days are these ones, I think Sun Food Nutrition sells them. They're the Bojita olives, and they're dehydrated, so they taste well. I love those olives. So you can travel with your olives if you want, because you're probably not going to get them up there. But the avocados you'll get and all the greens you'll get. So you're on the right track, girl. Yeah, keep it up.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Helps me a lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. So I'm going to go back to the Q&A. How we doing? We've been on a long time. I'm getting hungry. Okay. Clarita, I'm in not diabetic in the pre-insulin resistance range, though. I'm doing pretty well on my fourth day, but amazed to wake up weak in a fasting glucose 72. Wow. Used to be in the 90s. Yay. Sometimes when more than 12 hours go by, reaching the 68 mark. Anyway, I want to know what I can do to get more calories a day. I don't have any more pounds to lose, and I'm feeling weak. It's because of low blood sugar reading or because I lack calories. It could be both, actually. It could be that, you know, add in some of the extra good healthy fats, more olives. They're easy to eat. They don't fill you up, but they actually provide a lot of good calories. Avocado, coconut if you tolerate it. So any of those foods that you can add there, soaked nuts and seeds, whatever you tolerate, just to add those to make sauces, make more cashew yogurt or coconut yogurt, and those will fill you up. And congratulations on getting those much better glucose numbers. We'll get electrolytes because sometimes we lose a lot of water and electrolytes during this process. So look at electrolytes, adding potassium, or getting a good electrolyte supplement like the Seeking Health electrolyte product. And module 2, video slides, page 53, is a list of documents, presumably for download. Found all of these, but the effects of food on glucose and insulin. How glucose, dirty doesn't glucose, I noticed that some of the list, items on the list or slides, perhaps say two. These are two, and I missed them. So I'm gonna refer this one to Lynn. If you can copy this, I'm gonna actually copy this, and we'll take a look at the page and see what's going on. But this is out of my realm. And Lynn can take a look and look at this later. So I'm gonna put this in Lynn, and we have a company chat.
Actually, is this Ann Mara?
It's Ann. Well, I don't know who it is.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've been working with Christina on, it sounds like those are the issues. It sounds
okay,
like the
so
same
you've been
person.
Working on that. I'll just put those in your chat as a reminder. All right. Great. Then Trisha, I'm currently on a week's vacation, sticking to the program. Yay. First 2 days of the trip, morning glucose is 50 and 58. Wow. I would love for people who are having these low glucose readings to be checking your ketones. Because if they're low and your sugar is high, then, you know, we want to make sure that your liver is processing properly. First morning, I felt hungry, hadn't had much sleep or food the day before. So you're going to feel hungry that way. I was not shaky, but I didn't have a headache. I ate a salad. My glucose was 67. When I started the program, my fasting glucose was in the high 90s. My yearly was 104. Should I be concerned about the recent low readings? So I would recommend that if you have Keto Mojo, that you get the ketone strips and start testing, because if that's the case and you've shifted to burning fat, your glucose is low, we want to make sure that your ketones are coming up. And, you know, if not, we can look at a detox problem. Trisha, me again, I forgot to mention that earlier concern, my weight loss. Before I started in May, I weighed 141. Now I weigh 127. I haven't weighed that since high school. Yay. 5'6", and I think my face looks gaunt. 5'6" and 127 is not a problem. I still have some belly fat. My weight goal is 140 and no belly fat. My friends are asking if I'm healthy. Comments. Eat more. Like, really up your calories and don't allow yourself to go long between meals. I would say don't do intermittent fasting when you're concerned about weight loss. You can do three meals a day, three solid meals a day. Make sure that you're full at the end of the meal, eating more. But a lot of times what happens is we have to shed the toxic weight and then the new weight comes on. When I first started in this business, for myself, I did a cleanse And I fast, actually, and I got down to 92 pounds, and now I'm 5'4". I like my weight at 110, which some people might think is low, but I like myself at that weight. So it's all a matter of how you feel in your body. But I went down to 92, and I looked like a skeleton. I looked gaunt, but I wasn't concerned because they felt great. And then I just gradually, you know, increased the calories. I ate more of the nuts and seeds at each meal in the form of soaking them and then making them into sauces. I ate more avocados, and the weight came back. I have no problem maintaining, and sometimes I go up higher than I want to. All right, I just talked to Indra, so I'm going to skip that. Sora, number's fine, but sweet potato. But then I had a purple SP sweet potato and possibly a larger serving and went up to 148. Can different kinds react differently? Yeah. So it's the size, Sora, and it's also the different varieties will have different levels of sugar. So you just adjust it like you had a big serving of it. So try it with a very small piece, like a quarter of one. And then next time, you know, save it. Put it in the fridge and save it for the next day. And then another, like that time, you do a half of one, right? So you check it out and see where your tolerance level is. And for those of you who are going underweight, like I said, I wouldn't be concerned, but I would also think that if you try something like a sweet potato and you cook it and then you put it in the refrigerator and then you take it out, it's going to have more of what's called resistant starch. So it's unlikely to raise your sugar as much, but then you can just take pieces off and just have something, you know, with your meal to up the caloric density. Not if your fasting glucose is over 100 or around 100. How many days and how often should I test glucose before starting the metabolic reset? LaShawn, that's all in the document that says, it's all in the glucose page, the glucose testing page. You want to test it every 15 minutes at the beginning when you're testing foods that you haven't eaten before. So you want to see how high it goes and then how low it goes. So every 15 minutes for the first hour and a half or so. All right. Robin, big question debate. I know you're aware of all this. Please address this somewhere. I'm really confused. Numerous practitioners, Bernard, whatever, True Pritikins, whatever, say that too much fat, especially animal, but also saturated plant fats can cause insulin resistance, diabetes, and heart disease. These practitioners reverse those with low-fat, high-carb diets. Also, many of the blue zones that are lower fat and carb have little insulin diabetes problems. Not trying to be oppositional, but troubled. This metabolic reset, this testing and then resetting is a temporary situation. First of all, I agree on the animal fats, the trans fats, the cooked fats, okay? Even cooked plant fats are going to be problematic to the body in that they're inflammatory. I have not seen one single study that says that eating avocados causes diabetes. In fact, I see the opposite. When I eat a bowl of guacamole and I have a big salad, my sugar stays steady. I've even eaten avocado and helped it lower it. So when you look at the physiology, when you look at how things work, most of the people that end up in these situations, and especially the one that Esselstein works with, these are people with the APOE4/4 that cannot eat saturated fats, animal or plants. Cannot eat it, and they have heart disease as a result, and they do reverse it. So we're looking at a temporary reset to get you to the point where you don't allow your sugars to go high, and then you gradually increase the amounts of those foods. Everybody's different in the amount of fat that they eat. I've seen people get in trouble when they eat too much fat. I've seen other people who have gallbladder, liver sluggishness. I am not a fan of high fat diets. I'm not a fan of the 80% fat keto type diets. I'm a fan of using huge quantities of vegetables and non-starchy mostly at this point, but whatever starchy you can do later. And then the whole food plant-based fats. No studies show that whole food plant-based fats cause diabetes. There are none. If you find one, let me know. I'm open to looking at them. Mary, how long should a meal last? That's a great question. I would say no more than an hour because you're spreading it out too far. Okay. I'm trying to have this work. The answer is probably everybody's different, but I put it to the test. Yes, exactly. LaShawn, how many days should I already answered that one. Okay, got that one. How long should one meal last? My smoothies take me an hour and a half. That's probably on the long end of it. I would see if you can get them done in an hour because it's just, it's spreading out that glucose curve. You're going to see a much different glucose insulin curve if you do it that way. About how much saturated fat in the, I'm concerned about the amount of saturated fat in the cocoa. Yo, should I be? I have some genes that suggest I should not have too much. Rita, if you have the ApoE4 genes, then I would stick with a smaller serving of the cocoa yo. If you don't, then you should be fine with it. Especially if you're doing it in conjunction with a whole varied diet. I mean, literally a whole jar of cocoa yo has 200 calories. So it's not a lot in conjunction with the rest of your day. So if you're eating a balanced food and not a lot of saturated fat the rest of the day, I wouldn't worry. Kim, is ketosis not really a state of provided by the body to guard against low glucose availability, a survival method? Yeah, it actually is, but it does have some beneficial effects, right? We want to be able to survive. We want to be able to burn fat, and especially if you're overweight, you want to be able to burn stored fat, and ketosis helps you even into that mode. I'm not a big fan of long-term ketogenic diets, especially the garbage diets that are out there with bacon and butter and all that crap. No, but a high, see, you can get into ketosis by eating low calories as long as the low calories are balanced in terms of low carb, moderate fat, moderate protein. Ingrid, if I'm understanding, a type 2 diabetic will not experience in blood sugars numbers that I answered that before. Yeah. So they're not going to have it, those same numbers initially as the rest of us would. They're going to be a lot higher, so we can't tell them to go down to 110. Rob, a bit off topic, but wondering if this reset is intentionally reduced calories. It's hard to eat a lot. It can be reduced calories, but it doesn't have to be, right? There's a lot of things that are high caloric, believe me. I make coconut yogurt, and if I eat too much of it, that's a lot of calories. I eat too many olives, that's a lot of calories, you know? So you have to balance it. If you're trying not to lose weight, then you eat more of those calorie-dense foods. And yeah, for a lot of people, it's intended to fill them without getting a lot of calories so they can burn fat. Started testing glucose often and found that my glucose hardly goes up to more than 94, no matter how much have I eaten? Is there any way to drop the sugar? Wait. Oh, no. It goes up by 94 no matter how little I've eaten. Is there a way to drop the sugar by 10 to 15 points faster? I'm already taking chromium, DHA, magnesium. Ree, what I need you to do is fill out one of those forms that's on the extra column and give me your numbers, because without seeing a full picture and just a question in here, it's really hard to say. So what supplements you might, in the comments, what supplements you're already taking and all that, and really answer those questions, and I'll answer them on the next call. Laura, if blueberries raise my sugar, but if not eating with nuts, okay. Also, almond and cassava flours are out, not just grains. Yeah, cassava is a little high starch. Almond isn't. So, again, test them. I'm a little concerned about almond flour because I don't know how they process it, and it could be heated. And you don't want to do too much of it. So if you take almond flour and you make it into something and then bake it, then I'm concerned about it. Cassava, you just test. There's some cassava tortillas. Test it and see if it raises your sugar. But cassava does have a lot of starch, so you do need to be careful about it. Nut butters are fine if they're organic and they're cold processed, and especially if they're the sprouted ones, which are super expensive. But yeah, they can be fine. I use Artisana because I know they're good quality. Okay, I'm trying to get Mary Kay. I'm experiencing anxiety and depression for 2 weeks. Sleep seems compromised. Short-term memory not good. Can you help me determine if I'm off somewhere? I started magnesium in early May and started having better night's sleep. Yay. I added the chromium and berberine. I noticed slightly lower blood sugar numbers after the berberine. Good. But Lately, I'm waking up at 4 to 4:30 for a few nights in the last 2 to 3 days around 2 to 3 a.m. Oh, this computer. It just knocked me out. I can't see it again. It just keeps saying, oh, snap, whatever the heck that means. All right, we're at the last question, too, unless there are more added. I heard Dr. Davis, Mentor from Mars, recommend lithium orotate for repetitive thoughts. Started taking it, but the sleep wakefulness started before the lithium orotate. I can go off that too, back to basics. I take a compounded thyroid, progesterone, haven't changed those. I did have, testosterone pellets and no estradiol 2 weeks ago. I am not a fan. B5 is high, blood sugar is high, 150 and low is 88. Average is probably slightly above 100 since day one. Sorry, I didn't post the labs numbers. I'm scheduled for a full blood test. First of all, I am not a fan of pellets of hormones. Here's why. Today, you need this much because this is what your levels are. What if you have a bad reaction and you need less? Those pellets are embedded and it's a pain to get them out. So I am not a fan of that. Without seeing a Dutch test and all this other stuff to see what's going on for you on that, that could be getting in the way. Testosterone can oppose progesterone. Progesterone can help with sleep. So it sounds like you haven't had a sleep issue before, but it started in the last 2 weeks and you started the pellets for 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago. So I would strongly suggest that you consider that the pellets started causing the anxiety and depression 2 weeks ago, because that's what changed. We always have to look at that. That's what changed. Okay? So go to your doctor, tell your doctor. I don't think, you know, lithium orotate can help with depression. The other thing that helps with the repetitive thoughts is passion flower. So I would review some of the stuff in the sleep thing, but I honestly, looking at this, not having a full history at all, suspect that the testosterone pellets may have caused it. I haven't looked them up to see if sleeplessness is a problem with it or depression, anxiety, but I know that it mucks with your whole system and it's tough. I don't recommend testosterone unless you've tested all your metabolites of estrogen to make sure that if you get testosterone, a lot of women will, what's called aromatase. Men do it too. The testosterone turns into estrogen. So without looking at a full panel, it's hard to say. And that's out of the scope of this class. So we're good. I don't see any more hands raised. Thank you guys for your patience and staying with us so long. Lots of questions. There are a few more in the chat in this. I'm going to go back through the ones that were submitted in advance. And if any of them I missed, I'll just do a quick little video and I'll add it appendum, but I do want to quit and go have a meal. So, I'm going to open up the lines. Where do I do that? And I'm going to say goodbye. So on the count of three, I want everybody to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.